and follow through again. So thankful for each one that has gathered out this evening. Turn with us to the 1 John. 1 John, the 3rd chapter. And while you're finding, if you'd stand, if you're able to do so. Amen. First John, the 3rd chapter. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Oh, that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we again thank Thee for the privilege You have given us again, Lord, to proclaim Thy Word. Now we can't do it within our own self. We need Your help. We need Your guidance, O God. We need the anointing as only the Spirit of God can come. And we welcome Thee, Lord, this evening again. Move upon Thine worthy servant, O God, as we've stayed before Thee. We've trusted the promises of God. We believe the Word, and we're trusting Thee again tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to talk to you about a serious thing tonight. Anything in the Bible is serious, but this is very serious, I feel like. I want to talk to you about a state of depravity. Now, it sounds like a big word, but all it means is a disobedient heart. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. I've been talking along that line. Someone asked me, it's been some time ago, said, is that all you know to preach on is carnality? And I said, there's not too much more to preach on. That's about all the Bible consists of, carnality and being born again. And I don't know of anything else. And I believe in my heart that God wants us to be very careful about having a depraved nature. And this nature will cause us to lose our soul if we're not careful. I've seen so many people in my life and my ministry where they have lost out with God. Matter of fact, I just got news today of a preacher's wife. It's the saddest thing I've heard in years. And I've known this couple for many years. And she was coming back from a certain place. She looked over to her husband. She said, I'm not going this way any longer. Now, she'd been serving God, been serving the Lord about 25 to 30 years. And she said, I'm not going this way. She just got out of the car. She got home, went home, got her hair all cut, started wearing men's apparel, and just walked off and left her husband for no reason at all. I want you to know, friends, you better be careful. Amen. I've known this couple ever since they were children, just about, even in when they was going to a college and in one of the colleges of our day. I've known them that long. And tonight, this woman has given up, backslidden her heart, because of depravity, a depraved nature. You've got to get rid of something in your heart that you're born with in order that you might go to heaven without it. Amen. You can't get to heaven with it. As I talk to you tonight about this thing of depravity, the state of being deprived, or the loss of a former soundness, is what one writer says, and a falling away from a normal soundness or purity. And we're finding this so prevalent in the work of the Lord today. So many people are falling away and going on with a profession and feeling that there's no function of conscience. They have learned to live with themselves in that state of depravity. And I want you to know, as I was reading here in this chapter here, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What manner of love He has given to us, and yet we have turned it aside. I've often thought, my wife has a dog at home. I don't claim it. It's my wife's dog. Now, she never feeds it. Never. I don't think she ever has fed it. If she has, I don't know about it. I always water the dog, take care of it. And that dog has never one time offered to bite my hand. Now the reason, because if she does, she knows that she'll not get any more food. But did you know I said that to say this? God has been so good to us down through the years, and yet we're biting the hand that's protecting us. We're cutting it off. But did you know we're going to come to the place and find that it is reality, that one day God is going to cut us off if we're in this state of depravity. I thought of this as I was writing some things down. Depravity, negative, it means that man, as a result of the fall, listen to me tonight, has lost his original righteousness and love for God. Positively, it means that man's moral nature has been corrupted and that he has an irresistible bias toward evil. Just seemingly can't quit doing it. There's something about it. And all of that is said to say this, friend, we're serving a God that loves us. Behold how much He loves us, and yet we're biting His hand. And we're refusing to listen to the voice of God so many times. You say, preacher, are you unchristianizing this? No, I'm not. I know people. I know people. I believe in my heart tonight, even in a congregation like this. And I believe of a sound mind tonight to say to you tonight with the deep of my heart that there's no doubt people here tonight have resisted the Holy Ghost right in this meeting. Hear me. Amen. God wouldn't lay something upon the heart of an individual praying and agonizing with God unless He knew there was a need there. Amen. It's not something you just go pick up, friend. It's something that you pray and ask God for guidance and leadership and that He could help us to understand. And that's what I want to talk to you, the nature of depravity. The nature of this thing. John tells us that sin is twofold. Twofold. Listen to me. Sin is both an act and a state. Sometimes we don't like to look at it that. Sin needs forgiveness as well as it does cleansing. Amen. I believe in my heart tonight. I thought here the experience of justification and sanctification, there's a difference in them as a courthouse and a hospital. Amen. You find that a courthouse is a place where you settle the things of the law. A hospital is where you get some physical help. And I believe the church is the spiritual hospital. Amen. That's already getting quiet on me tonight. But that's all right. I brought a few amens with me. Thank the Lord. I thought about depravity here. Now listen to me closely before you say anything or would like to say something. Depravity is not actual sin, but the fountainhead where actual sins originate. You see, when we are born into this world, we're born with a nature. Oh, that's hard to believe, isn't it? That's sinful. I think of this lady over here. She got a new baby. And even though that little baby is so sweet and so cuddly, yet down inside of that child, there is a nature that one day it will want its way. And unless it gets its way, it will put up a fuss and it will cause some problems. You say, never. Oh, I've raised kids, I know. You've raised them too, haven't you? And you know it happens. Amen. I said the other night, there used to be three things that would cause a child to scream out and act up, you know. And that was, you know, if they were hungry or had a wet diaper or a pin sticking them. Well, they don't use the pins anymore. So there's only two things that would really cause them to want to cry. But did you know, I believe in my heart tonight, the reason that we're seeing things happen in the holiness circles is because of a depraved nature that we have never had it conquered by the hand of God. Amen. It's exactly right, friend. Depravity is falling away from a normal soundness or a purity. Raised in a holiness church and yet seemingly lost the touch of heaven upon her soul like we used to have and used to sense God's glory. But we're not seeing that anymore all over their country. We're not seeing it. And just as I received this word this afternoon, it just almost stifled me. I felt, my God, This lady, I know her father. He's gone. I knew him. He was an educated man. He was an educator. And he was raised in the holiness church. And she was reared in the holiness church. And she was instructed in the holiness church. And they had children, raising children in the holiness church. But all of a sudden, something happened. What was it? She broke inside because she never had it settled. She had a profession. And she overrode a lot of things, friend. But tonight, listen, tonight she's outside of the fold of God. Backslid. Away from God. In a holiness church, if I would tell you, friend, it would just startle you tonight. As I received the news, it just absolutely just astounded me to think that an individual that I thought was so close to God, and yet so far, depravity, a depraved nature. Oh, we can go out and profess to know God, but we better know that we know God. For the enemy's going to come in. And he's going to throw some things at us. And he's going to let us believe that we can make it without God or without the church or without the other party. Amen. Now hang on. I believe this is one of the greatest downfalls of the holiness church tonight. When a husband and wife both work, and the wife don't need to. I'm talking about out in public work, friend. For the Bible says she's to be the keeper of the home. And that's the reason that that woman slipped away from her husband. Because she got too much prestige. Hello? Now, I'm not talking about if you're the only breadwinner in the home. I can understand those things. You see, I'm not dumb. Amen. But just to get gain, friend, the devil is trying to deprive us. And with a depraved nature, he's just pushing everything. Oh, you need this and you must have this. You don't need a lot of things. This is the problem we're having in the circles, friend. And we're being deprived as well as depraved of the presence of God. Amen. Well, that's Scripture, whether you want to believe it or not. Amen. When I was studying this today, I thought, Lord, I'm not going to get many amens here, so give me a few. Praise the Lord. Amen. The original sin, the origin of sin, the depravity is not removed. Listen, tonight at pardon, the conversion, it still lies dormant in the heart of an individual. Did you know that there is something within the recesses and the confines of a heart that stays there until it is eradicated by the Holy Ghost? And that's not done when we come to the altar to be saved. Amen. I told one fellow, I said, if you stay long enough, God will do it. After you get everything cleaned up. Pardon is perfect, but it does not touch the inbred sin or depravity. The Lord does a perfect job in regeneration or saving our soul. But brother, there's still that something that lies dormant down there, and it's ready to jump out any time, and you never know when it's going to spout up and do something contrary to the will of God. Amen. Lord, help us. It's seated deeply in the heart. Brother Robert, it's so deep sometimes that it's hard to detect. People can put on a smile and they can put on a front and they can do all sorts of religious things. And you think they're so religious, but you cross them one day and you'll find out the religion is gone. But they never had salvation, they just had religion. Religion, everybody's got religion. Amen. I used to work with some black people, and they were meaner than snakes. And I'd say, hey, John, how about you? You got the Lord in your heart. Oh, yes, sir, I sure do. Well, there's meaner than a snake. Amen. Everybody's got religion. But I said, John, are you saved? Do you have salvation? What do you mean? Just what I said. Do you have salvation? Have you been born again? Is your sins gone? I got religion, man. That isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being born again, knowing, thank God, that every sin is covered by the blood. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But notice this thing of depravity. It lays dormant in the heart of men. And you may search, you may use them on the platform. You may use them on the board. You may use them in the Sunday school class. But there comes a time that something happens. Amen. And that something is very dangerous. Hello. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God knows what He's doing, folks. Amen. But it'll show up. The Holy Spirit will show us carnality, friend. If we'll be faithful, God will show us that. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. I've seen people, and I pastored long enough when I was in the pastorate. I pastored long enough to know that the people that would tell me they were saved and sanctified and they loved God with all their heart, it wasn't long till I could pretty well pick them out, you know, and say, well, there's something wrong somewhere. It's just not clicking right, and it just doesn't sound right, and it just doesn't feel right when I'm around them. Well, did you ever think, preacher, it could be you? Possibly, but I didn't believe it was. Hallelujah. And I'd go to my place in prayer and say, oh God, search my heart. See if there's any unclean thing in me. Thank God, search me out. Every once in a while, we need to go before the examining board and say, Lord, search me out. Try my ways. See if there's any unclean thing in me. Amen. We'd find that it wouldn't be long till we would see depravity removed from our life. Bless His holy name. But it's so easily seen, you know, in various channels in the life of individuals. It shows up in a spurt of anger. And really, I didn't mean to do that. But people do that. My father, He wasn't a religious man. He got saved before he died. But I remember my father was a hard-working man on the farm, and we had a team of horses, and they were hauling lime, you know, spreading lime with horses and an old lime spreader. And Dad was out there, and the trace come loose on this old mare, and she was so skittish, and just the least thing she would kick, you know. So the trace came loose, and my father reached down. He reached down to hook the trace, and that mare kicked him and knocked him over. And the neighbor was working with my father, and he had a big club, and he was busting up the clods, you know, how lime will get hard. He was busting them up. And he looked over and seen my father lying there on the ground. He took that big club and hit that mare right between the eyes, and she went to her knees. My dad rolled over and said, "Hit her again, Shade." He didn't hit her hard enough. Now, if he'd have been saved, man, he'd have never done that. He'd have said, "My, that mare sure kicked me." But that nature that he had within his heart, he wanted to see that mare destroyed because that mare almost destroyed him. Hello? Amen. I was pastoring in the state of Tennessee several years ago. And I remember my Sunday school superintendent came to me and he said, "Brother Watts, my brother Jack is going to kill his wife." I said, "What in the world's wrong with him?" He said, "He's drunk." He said, "She's stepping out on him." I said, "Well, Ralph, go call the law." He said, "They won't come. They're afraid of him." I said, "How come they're afraid of him?" He said, "He's got a 30-30 up there on the coal. He had a coal house." Anybody know what coal is? And they put coal in this house, you know, little shed out there. And that saves, you know, supply for the winter. He was setting up on the coal house, and he had it aimed at the kitchen door. "Come on out." Is this what he was wanting? He's going to shoot her. Well, I said, "Ralph, I'm not going up there." He said, "It's my gun. And I don't want him to kill her with my gun." I said, "Well, do you want him to kill us with your gun?" I wasn't brave. Amen. And so Ralph said, "I'm going. You're going with me." I said, "Well, I'll go with you." And here I was following him, and I thought, this is silly. That 30-30 will go through both of us. Amen. But there was something compelling me, and something compelling this other boy. I said, "Oh, God, help us. He could kill that woman and be in the pen. He could kill us and never get out." Amen. 3 murders in one night. And Ralph just kept, this is the same boy I was talking about, I prayed through after he'd been backslid for 30-some years, prayed him through. This is when he was serving God, doing his best for the Lord. And he started walking toward his brother, and he finally said, "Give me that gun." He said, "Don't move, I'll shoot you." And he just reached up and grabbed the barrel. And he said, "You love me too much to shoot me, Jack." And Jack began to cry. And I put my arms around him and loved him up real good. He said, "Turn me loose, preacher." I said, "I love you, buddy." And I held him and just kind of walked him to the car and put him in the car. Now, why did I say all that? There would have been a time I'd have said, "Let him go ahead and do it." And he would have done it because he had such a depraved nature in his soul that he'd have done it in a split second. You see, the devil gets you in some pretty tight places sometimes, and you don't know how to succumb from them. You don't know how to overcome them. And he'll tell you that it's going to be all right because it's legitimate. That you are every bit in the right of the world to do what you're doing. I want you to know, friend, if it's sin, you're not supposed to do it. Even, listen, you're not supposed to do it if you're not a Christian, much less if you're a Christian. Amen. God help us. But this nature, it shows up in different ways, you know. If it doesn't get its way, it'll pout around. You ever see pouting, professing Christians? I've seen them act like little babies. Pout around.
Amen. I'm sure you wouldn't have anything like that around here, Brother Gibson. You know where Sunday school teachers gets pouting around because they didn't get the class they wanted. I said, bless your heart, you can have them all as far as I'm concerned. Amen. I'm on the general board and I'm on every committee, I think, but the youth committee. And I said, I'm just too old for that. Amen. And they said, well, we're going to have this meeting tonight. And we're going to have... I said, I've never been so bored in all of my life. Board meetings, till I'm bored to death. I said, get somebody else on these boards. Let them learn something. But you know, some people fight for the position. I run from it. Amen. Especially when it comes to secretary's job. Amen. I can hardly write legible enough to read my own, much less for somebody else to read it. Amen. Pout around. Want our way. That old nature down inside. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. It just seems like it lays dormant until something sets it off. Then all of a sudden, once it just grits its teeth and bites down and... Oh, yes, I've been there. And I've had that to happen. Amen. It plays the hypocrite. Amen. Just pretends that it's really something when it isn't anything. God help us. This nature is the thing that's going to destroy the church. If we don't have it destroyed within our heart, it will destroy us, friend. It will destroy us. May God help us tonight. I say something here tonight. The whole church of the day, they stand pretty clear what sin is, you know. Amen. Amen. It's a willful transgression of the law of God. We pretty well stand clear on that. But we sometimes still do it. One fellow said he learned to sin in church. Hello? Amen. By watching others. Amen. Get up and testify when you knew that you just had a spell before you came to church. I told you about T.M. Anderson the other night, and this is the problem that he was having in his church, and his young people were not saved. I want you to know, friend, everybody's not like you think they are. They're watching our life, and they're watching how we act, and the things we do, and the places we go, and the things we say. And you better be careful of that little spouting and that little spurt of anger, for somebody's watching you. Amen. Some have dropped the word from their vocabulary, the word sin. They say it's just a sickness of the mind. But sin is just as wrong today as it was back in Adam and Eve's day. God help us tonight, friend. Amen. Others look at sin as merely a disease. And I was talking to someone not too long ago. And I was preaching, had been preaching against the homosexuality life and the lesbian life. And I said, brother, it's not something. They said, oh, we're born that way. I said, no, you sin. That's why the devil has deprived you. And he's depraving you. You got a depraved mind, and he's depriving you of the glory. People are not born. I want you to know, I don't know what I'm preaching this tonight, but what God said to do. But listen, friend, that is one of the most sinful things in our land today. And it's creeping into our churches. Let me tell you something. I was in a camp meeting in Michigan. And there was a fellow came in. He had a family. He was a Catholic boy. He came into the camp. And I thought, well, this would be a good opportunity to help that boy to get to God. And this preacher, now listen, I had the utmost confidence in him. And my wife slipped over to me and she said, Daddy, be careful. I've heard a bad report about this man. My wife don't say much. She wouldn't tell me nothing hardly at all. Amen. She said, I heard a bad report about that man. It's hard for me to believe that. I said, oh. I said, Dad, I don't believe that. Come to find out, she was 100% right. This man was a sodomite. And he was preaching or trying to preach holiness. He was an older man. He separated this young man and his wife. Amen. And then another young man, he got with him, and it wasn't long until this young man almost killed him. Brother, we're dealing with something today, and the reason it is that because people have a depraved mind. Their minds are depraved. Depravity, it's set in, and they're warped. They're so warped, they don't know what's right and what's wrong. And they're going the way of the world, what seemeth good to them. But it's not good in the sight of God. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of it. Amen. Amen. Oh, friend, this is not something to play with, this thing of depravity. Brother, it'll take you so far you'll never return. Amen. I made the statement, I believe, maybe the first night we preached. There's over 50 million homosexuals in the land today, and that many lesbians as well. No wonder they're swaying the politics the way they want it to go. Come on. Amen. And then we had it right in the White House. You've heard it before I ever preached it. Amen. Oh my, that Clinton fella, you know. Isn't that something that we can have people like that ahead of our country and commit terrible atrocities in the house that was supposed to represent us? Depravity, friend, a mind that's warped because of sin. We may get by a little while, but I want you to know there's coming a time that God is going to lay the hammer down. Amen. God knows more about us than we think He knows, friend. Amen. And sometimes He's going to ride our pedigree if we're not careful. And He's going to tell us, this is your last call. This is your last chance. You're either going to mind me or I'm walking away. Ichabod is joined to his idols. Leave him alone. He's going to say it. Oh, friend, I don't want to see that, but it's going to happen. Lord, help us. I thought here, you know, some have dropped, as I said, this word of sin from the vocabulary. My, Jesus taught that all sin is slavery. Yes, but notice here, He taught the greatest of these is unbelief, unbelieving God, not believing God can do what He promised. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take His yoke upon Him. Learn of Him, for He's meek and lowly in heart. And He said, you shall find rest unto your soul. Thank God He has something for us. He has a never-loving love that never fades or fails. Praise His holy name. Lord, help us. Jesus taught that He could forgive actual sins. Aren't you glad that He can tonight forgive you of all those things that you've done when you was out there in the world? Thank God He's forgiven every one of them. He never left a one of them uncovered by His blood. Not only did He take care of that, thank God, but He can cleanse us from that inward nature, that inbred thing, that thing that's deeply seated, that depravity, that nature of denying ourselves of the privilege and the opportunity of receiving God in His glory. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the hardest people in the world, friends, to see sanctified are those that claim it and do not possess it. Amen. I've been around, as I said before, and talked to people about God, talked to them about their experience. Was He really justified? Did they really know? Amen. Let me say something tonight. In camp meetings, I was in a camp meeting not too long ago. I remember some situations that arose, and I thought, you know, it won't be long until things will begin to develop and we'll see who's really living this life. Brother, it didn't take just a few nights, and we found out where people really living. Hello? Amen. You bear down on some things. It won't be long till you begin to locate them. Amen. And they'll see themselves as they really are. And unless they obey God, they're going to walk away from Him. And they're going to turn their back upon God and be lost eternally. Amen. Are you listening? Oh, may God help us tonight. Depravity. It's that old depraved nature. The sad thing about it, we're going to deprive ourselves of the blessings of heaven. Amen. There was a story told some years ago. I think of it often. There was two little boys, and the mother had told them, informed them, that they had an uncle that was coming, and he was going to be at their home at a certain time. And said, if you boys are here, you're going to have the privilege of riding in his Cessna plane. He's got his plane, and he's going to take you for a ride, and then he's going to circle back, and he's going to drop you off, but he has to leave. And it's just going to be here just for a little while. And if you're not here, you're going to miss it. One of the little boys says, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to stay right here till he comes. Amen. The other one said, I got something I want to do. I think I'll go ahead and do it. And surely he'll wait on me. Are you catching on? When God tells us something, friend, we better listen to Him. For He's going to come, and if we're not ready, He's going. The uncle came, and the one little boy that was waiting there at the home, he got in the plane, they took off, and the little fella come running in and says, they're here, said they're here, and gone. Why didn't he wait? He told you he was going to be here at a certain time, and he had to leave. Did you know Jesus said, I'm coming? Amen. Amen, I'm coming. Amen, and to them that look for me, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I wonder sometimes in the hole in the circles, friend, are we really looking for Him? We know how to do things. We know how the service ought to go. We know when to say amen. We know when to raise our hands. And you've heard it over and over. But I wonder, friend, are we really looking for Him? Are we expecting Him to come? He's coming. We need to constantly believe God for what He has said. Oh, may the Lord help us. We want to have confidence in Him. Amen. And I believe that His promise is true. It's not slack concerning His promises as men count slackness. But I want you to know God's promised some things and He's going to fulfill those promises. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank the Lord forever. You know, I find the reason a lot of folk are no further up the road today than they are is because they have a problem within. Problem within. I found this little poem. I thought it was appropriate. And I jotted it down. It said, we fuss and we spout. We mumble and we grumble. And our feelings get out. We can't understand why our vision grows dim when all we need is just a moment with Him. Amen. How long did you pray today? Don't tell me. Amen. Amen. Was your prayer going from the living room to the kitchen? And maybe back to the bedroom? And that's about what it consisted of. Come on. Hello? Amen. When things start getting quiet, I get nervous. Amen. I used to coon hunt a lot when I was a young man. When the dogs would tree, and there wasn't any use for them to bark because they knew something was up the tree, you could just hear them clawing at the tree, just clawing at the tree. It'd get deathly quiet. All you could hear is just scraping, scraping. And I knew he was up the tree. I kind of feel like I've got somebody up the tree. You're unchristianizing me, preacher? No. I'm just telling you where you are.
letting you know where you are. Amen. There's nothing wrong with you, a fellow telling me, if a snake was laying out here and he's going to cross there to get your wife, what would you do? Just say, it'll go on. You don't worry about it. You'd warn her, wouldn't you? Come on. Amen. My boy, he's just a baby one time. We were living in the mountains of Kentucky. I was pastoring a church there. And there's snakes all around the parsonage, and rattlesnakes, copperheads, all sorts of snakes. Water moccasins come out of the creek just about 25 or 30 feet up the bank, and those snakes would come out there, and those cotton mouths and all kinds of things. And little fella, just a small fella, just about I think 4 and a half, maybe 5 years old, and he's out there playing. And all of a sudden, I was mowing grass, and I looked around and I said, "Son, don't move, don't move." And he just stopped what he was doing, just stood, sat there underneath the steps, and this snake was curling down and getting ready to drop. And I said, "Don't move, whatever you do, don't move." And I reached over and got a big old hoe and just come down and cut that thing in two, and it fell on both sides of him. That's exactly what God does. The devil is coming at us at both angles. And God said, "Don't move, I'll take care of this." Hallelujah. He takes His great sword, thank God, and severs that thing to try to save you from falling into the pit. Depravity, friend, of nature that's going to destroy us. And the devil doesn't care how he does it as long as he gets it done. Amen. I believe in my heart we're living in a day that's so easy to just walk against light and say, "I've heard that so many times and so many years that I just kind of take it as a grain of salt." Amen. And that's exactly what's happening in the church tonight. We're just kind of taking and pushing it aside. If we accept it and want to accept it, we will. If we don't, friend, we reject it and say, "No." Just like this preacher's wife. After many, many years of serving God, everyone thought that she was a Christian. Can I share something else with you? Another actual happening of a nature. A lady that was in the church. It happened to be a Nazarene pastor's wife. Amen. Everybody had confidence in her. Amen. 40-something years they had been in that area. 40-some years they've been in that area preaching the gospel. And she told her husband, she came down deathly sick. And she said to bring the husband in. He came in and she looked him in his eyes and said, "I'm not saved." Said, "My mother, I know you've lived this thing and I've watched your life. You haven't done anything." She said, "But I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved. Mother, you're just sick." She said, "Listen, Daddy, I'm a doctor. Let me tell you, I'm not saved. I went on with the Mission Society. I went on with the program. I've done it for you, Daddy. I loved you. I never, never had Christ in my heart." And he fell across that bed with his wife and began to plead the blood. And Brother Gordon, she began to plead the blood. And the Holy Ghost settled down in that home. Amen. And God wonderfully saved that woman right there after 40-some years of profession. Amen. This isn't a fairy tale, friend. This actually happened. Amen. You talk about, we're living in a society today that people can go on. They know, ladies, we know how to dress, don't we? We know how to act. We know how to conduct ourselves when someone's around that we don't want to just let something slip. We conduct ourselves real properly. Amen. But down inside, there's a vacancy. There's a void. And that's because of that depravity. That old nature that's caused us to slip by the wayside. That lady got well. Amen. She got well. She got up in front of the church and she told, "I can't say that I'm backslid. I've just never been saved." 40-some years I profess to know God, but I've never been saved. What'd the church do? They put their arms around her and said, "We still love you." What would you have done? If you was a Christian, you'd have had to have loved her. For she was honest with God and with humanity. But she was depraved. The devil deprived her of the joy. Oh yes, when the music was playing, she could wave her hand and tears would flow. Amen. I've seen people cry and it wasn't nothing but crocodile tears. That old nature, it can work to satisfy the carnal heart. Amen. Amen. Lord, help us tonight. I'm fearful in these hours, friend, that we've come so far that we think we know just exactly how and what to do. We can have confidence if we want to in God's acceptance. And if we do have confidence in Him, we can seek soul food and spiritual culture, and God will lead us and He'll direct us. Oh, may the Lord help us to know where we are while there's still time to pray. Amen. While there's still time to pray. I'm just leaping through my Bible. If I can find it hurriedly here. There's something in here that I would show you if I could find it. Don't even know where I've seen it, but I know it's in the Bible. Some years ago, I was pastoring in eastern Kentucky, and I was dealing with a man about his soul. My uncle told me, he said, "Whatever you do, son, leave that man alone," said, "he'll kill you." I said, "But I'm concerned about his soul, Uncle Charlie." He said, "Son, listen to Uncle Charlie. Don't go around him, he'll kill you. He's a mean man." In eastern Kentucky, and I know he was a mean man. His brother came to my church, and brother, he was mean. He was a mean fella. And I was down there helping his brother. We were doing some pulling a well, if you know what that is, and going to put a new point on the bottom of it. And I looked over and I said, John, here comes Ernest up the road there. Right up this alley, it's through the alley in the back of the houses and in this coal mining town. And I said, "Well, he acts funny. He acts like he's drunk." He said, "Probably is." Pulled up there in a brand new GTO. That's been a while ago. Jumped out of there. And he walked over up to his brother and he said, "Did you get my liquor?" Well, he didn't even know he had any liquor. He called it liquor. It's home brew, you know. Said, "No, I didn't get your liquor." He pulled out his knife. And he... Man, he didn't miss his jugular vein. I don't believe I'd want to have my finger between it. I said, "Johnny, he'll kill you." "Nah, he loves me." I said, "Didn't look like it." "Amen." I said, "Ernest," I said, "don't kill John." He said, "I'll just kill you." And he reached in here and pulled this German Luger out. And first he clicked that thing, pow, 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 6 times at my feet. I lost my breath. What would you have done? I'd rather be alive coward as dead hero. Amen. I didn't move. His brother said, "Ernest, that preacher prays for you. He loves you." And he turned that thing and he shot. I think it was 9 shot. And he shot the rest of them into the bank. And when he was shooting there, I cleared a 4-foot fence. Amen. I went up to the post office and I told his wife, she was a postmaster, and I said, "Ernest's going to kill somebody." And she said, "Why are you so white?" I said, "Listen, he almost killed me." And she said, "Well, I'm not going down there." And you know, someone said he went over to the gas station. A fellow by the name of Raider Hale had a big gas station. He went over there and he cleared it out. Everybody left. They closed the station down. They called me the shirt-tail preacher. Amen. That's all they seen was my shirt tail when I went over the fence, you know. And got in a big old Pontiac station wagon and headed up the hollow.
just as fast as I could go. And I found out, I said, why did you boys leave the gas station? We didn't want to get shot. I said, that's the reason I clumb across the fence. Amen. I said all of that to say this. The next Sunday morning, God helped us. We had a wonderful service. Little Pilgrim Holiness Church in McAndrews, Kentucky. Oh, how God came. I mean, people were saved and people were slain. God just saturated the place with His Shekinah glory. And everybody's weeping and just having a wonderful time. When they walked out, there's a hugging each other. And John went down to his brother's house and going to tell Ernest just all about it. And he walked in there and he said, Ernest, where are you at, buddy? He kept walking through the house and nobody was there. His wife was gone. I don't even know if she'd been there all night because he'd been drinking that night and she's afraid to go home. He walked through the rooms and into the living room, into the dining room, and into the kitchen. And off the kitchen was a bedroom. And just as he got to the kitchen door and he looked in there and he looked across in the bedroom, he seen his feet cross like that. And he looked down there and he seen blood on the floor. And he looked up at Ernest and he had a .22 revolver, had stuck it right there. And I don't know how many he put in there, but it finally fell to his chest. He still had a death grip on it. He killed himself and went into eternity without God. Are you listening? Raised in a holiness church, in the Pilgrim Church. His mother was an ordained Pilgrim holiness preacher in Logan, West Virginia. His brother was a fine man, the one that found him. But his nature was depraved. He thought he'd get by. You can't get by with sin, friends. Amen. The undertaker asked me, he said, Reverend, how can you preach this man's funeral? Somebody that tried to kill you, how can you do it? I said, I loved his soul. I said, he didn't kill me. I'm still here. He could have. Sure he could have. But I tried until the last breath was drawn. I tried to win him to God, but I missed it. And he missed it. You see, that nature doesn't quit until it destroys it. You'd either destroy it or it'd destroy you. And that's exactly. And I looked upon the cold form of that man. I thought, Ernie, what you could have been will never be because you allowed the devil to deceive you just by some little act and means of his. Oh, God, help us. How true it is tonight, friend, that each of us will be weighed in the balance. We're going to find out. God's going to see. Amen. If your sins has gone on before you, you don't have to worry. But if they follow you, you'll be judged for those sins and be found guilty. I ask the Lord to help us. Oh, may God help us. We should never claim a pure heart as long as there is a carnal mind or nature. Man that is, listen, that is without God are not only depraved, but they're deprived themselves of all that He promised him. I tell you, I want to make it. I want to be faithful to His kingdom. I want to be faithful to His people. And if you're here tonight, while our piano comes, if you'd stand with us, please.